Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're keeping things moving here on The Drive. Coming up in 1 hour, Joshua Briscoe is going to join us on the show. Joshua Briscoe does the Chiefs pre and post game. All right. I want to play for you guys opinions around the National Football League. Why don't we start Stephen A. Smith, one of the top opinion makers in this business. Let's hear what Stephen A. Smith had to say on First Take about your Kansas City Chiefs.
He knows he's not what he used to be. And because he's not what he used to be, he can't make up for the loss of a Rashee Rice. He can't make up for the loss of a Xavier Worthy. And remember, Xavier Worthy, he's the reason Xavier Worthy is out, because they got mixed up on their route running. And he ran into Xavier Worthy and basically separated his shoulder, which is why Xavier Worthy has been out. Travis Kelce himself took the blame for that. I'm not blaming him. He blamed himself. And so when you look at one of the star players being out, knowing how much that inhibits your progress, when you're looking at a Patrick Mahomes completing less than 60% of his passes, only throwing 3 touchdowns in 3 games with just 1 interception. When he's also having to be the leading rusher because Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt can't really do what you expected them to do just as of yet. All of those things contribute to elevating the level of frustration that's taking place, because once upon a time, Kelce could be the dude that said, put it on my back. I got you, big boy. Patrick, I'm here. Throw me the damn ball, okay? We gonna be all right. Now, he's struggling to get separation, as we saw on several occasions last night. He juggled the pass that led to an interception and a loss against the Philadelphia Eagles. The game before that, in the opener, he got Xavier Worthy hurt, like I just articulated. There's a lot of frustration brewing up in him.
I mean, I think that's where a lot of the sideline stuff is coming from. I really do. I think that's where a lot of this sideline, throwing helmets and doing all this stuff and yelling at teammates, I think that's where it comes from. I'm used to being able to be the player that kind of gets us out of these offensive ruts. You're not that guy right now. Father Time eventually gets everybody. We were just talking about it with Mike Gundy. It gets everybody. Your fall off, you very rarely control. It just kind of happens. So I do think that's been one of the issues with Travis Kelce. I do think that's been one of the issues with the offense. And I think the hope is, once the Chiefs get back healthy, if they get back healthy, let me knock on wood here, is what does that role look like for Travis Kelce in a completely healthy and viable Kansas City Chiefs offense? We just don't know. I think the experiment of the offense kind of revolving around Travis Kelce has just gone on much longer than anybody thought it was going to go because of the injuries. They were already starting to kind of center their offense around Rashee Rice. He then got injured. So they had to go back to what they know. And what they know is 8-7 carries. I just don't think he can do that anymore in this offense. So that was Stephen A. Smith. Let's keep it at ESPN. Here's Dan Orlowski of ESPN's Get Up.
When we watch Mahomes play, better, worse, what did we see from that offense last
night? I feel the same way about the offense. Uninspired, unimpressed. Without Patrick, you got nothing. I mean, if not for 3 or 4 plays by Patrick Mahomes in this game, the outcome would have been very different. If you just go to some of the third down stuff, like this is Patrick dropping back. He gets pressure off of his right. Obviously, no one's open. Climbs the pocket. Then you have internal pressure. Most quarterbacks, this play is just dead. There's no opportunity to do anything. Patrick Houdini's himself, escapes, keeps his eyes down the field. Not only does this get you a first down conversion, it's a chunk play. This is, goes for about 27 yards out of those about 300 as a total. Mm-hmm. This is right before the half. You're trying to hope to get something. Pressure, pressure internally. Patrick's going to evade to his right, keep his eyes downfield. He gets one-on-one again, little hezzy to avoid that rusher. And now this is just awareness by Patrick to point downfield. This is going to be a 52-yard pass interference penalty on your 300 yards of total offense. This gives you 3 points.
I want to ask, a lot of you guys are real mad right now at Matt Nagy, and I get it. Rob, we do this every day. Do you know who the Lions offensive coordinator is now with no Ben Johnson?
I do. It's Johnny Morton, right?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's Johnny Morton.
I honestly don't know.
I think it's former Chiefs wide receiver Johnny Morton.
I don't know
that.
If it matters. You want to know why? I don't think it matters. You want me to tell you the players who got carries for the Lions on Monday Night Football? David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. That was it. Those are the guys they gave carries to. This might come as a shock to you, but with those two guys, they ran the football effectively. Do you want me to tell you the guys that got catches for the Lions on Monday Night Football? All right, we can do that. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jamison Williams, Sam Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery. I mean, when you're throwing it to those guys, man, it makes calling plays real easy. Maybe Ben Johnson was not some offensive mastermind. Maybe he was just the person in control of maybe the most talented offense in the National Football League. Now, I'm not here to take away from Ben Johnson. We'll see how his career looks. I only bring that up is we've been talking a lot about the play calling and the scheme, and you can make the most out of this. Man, it's really hard to cobble together a run game when your best running back is Kareem Hunt. It's really hard on offense when you don't really have a lot of weapons there on the outside. Look at everybody in the Lions offense. Is there anybody that you would say is out of their prime right now in their offense? I mean, you can't say that about Jahmyr Gibbs. He's still on his rookie contract. David Montgomery is still playing at a high level. Amon-Ra St. Brown's one of the 10 best wide receivers in the NFL. Jamison Williams just got off his rookie contract. Sam Laporta is on his rookie contract. We're talking about everybody that catches passes and is involved in the Lions offense is at the peak of their powers. Man, it makes things easy for you. Right now, what you're asking Patrick Mahomes to do is, in the face of the injuries that you have, because you got to note that, you got significant injuries. One of the Lions have a top five running back room in the NFL, probably top three, maybe number one, top two and not two. You're asking Patrick to carry a wide receiver room who is very diminished right now because of the injuries, a bottom five running back room, and an aging tight end that we think is going to retire after Christmas time. The offense kind of looks like how I think that's going to look. It's been a while since we've given Patrick Mahomes or had these conversations about him just playing with a lot of dogs in the offense. And that's why I've been feel like I'm the only person defending Matt Nagy. I think a lot of the reasons people feel the way they feel about Eric Bieniemy was that's when their players were in their prime. Yeah, when they had prime Kelsey and prime Tyreek Hill and they had Kareem Hunt at a younger version, yeah, their offense was high-flying and flying around and making plays. That ain't what they got right now. They got the ghost of Juju Smith-Schuster. They got a fraction of Hollywood Brown. They got a running back room that's still trying to figure things out. You kind of get the talent that you have. You can only scheme up in X's and O's and catch people off guard with screen. Like, sometimes you just got to have dudes. The Lions got a lot of dudes on their team. That's why they're one of the best offenses in the National Football League.
I'm not saying it's none of the Jimmys and Joes. I don't want to make it sound like I think that. We just see it differently. And I'm not calling for Matt Nagy's head or run him out of town or anything like that. I think there is something to the scheme because I think there is something. There is something wrong with the Chiefs offense more than just the bodies. They have players that I think can make plays. Do I think Marquise Brown is an elite player? No. But should they get more out of him than nothing? Yes. Is Travis Kelce what he was 10 years ago? Absolutely not. But he should be more than tirade on the sideline guy. They should be able to get something out of him. I'm watching other elite teams with players you've never heard of get something out of them, and the Chiefs aren't doing that with names you know.
Yeah, I just think that those guys are just, I think what we are seeing is the injuries have taken away from the explosiveness of Hollywood Brown. Does he look like an explosive player to you?
No, but he's a viable NFL player, and they're not getting that out of him right now.
I just think they got guys. I think they just got a bunch of guys. That's what I think. I think they have just a bunch of guys in their offense. Like on the text line, this guy keeps sending in, C-Dot, how can you not mention the wide receivers they had in 2022? Excuse me. They also had Travis Kelce, who had 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns in 2022. They had one of the five best pass catchers in the league in 2022. It made work easier for everybody else when you got that guy. It's easy to score when, all right, we got a 30-point-per-game guy that they got a double team. I just can catch passes in the – and that's what they had in 2022. So it made things easy for Juju Smith-Schuster to get open and have 1,000 yards because so much attention. You ain't got to put a whole lot of attention to stop Travis Kelce right now. Either he's not fast enough or Patrick's going to miss him anyway. He's wide open. So if I'm the only one that has to say this, that's fine. They don't have a lot of dogs in their lineup. So this is just going to be their offense until they get the dogs back.
But if the dogs come back, to use your example, and the offense doesn't get electric and explosive, are you going to open up the idea that it
100%,
could be skin?
Okay. 100%. I'm just
the
saying
same
is,
way, if I'm come back is, and explode, I'll come to your
it's
side.
It's just hard to me to be mad at Matt Nagy and also acknowledge that they've never had all their wide receivers at one time. To me, it's hard to be mad at the offensive coordinator when we all kept screaming, hey, you guys should do more in the running back room. You guys should do more in the running back room. They didn't do anything in the running back room. So wait, they've never had all their wide receivers, and they also got bad running backs. Tell me how you have an explosive offense. Then tell me how that math equation works for anybody. You don't love their offensive line. You don't love their running back room. They got old tight ends, their wide receivers, and we're mad at the offensive coordinator? Who is he supposed to be drawing plays up for right now? Their best offensive weapon got fired a year ago from the Patriots. We're excited about Tyquan Thornton. Tyquan Thornton, they might have him turn on the plaza lights just because he's one of the few people that can catch on this team. So if I got to be the Matt Nagy defender, I will be the Matt Nagy defender. But I just don't know how you can want all the offenses that you think are good. Look at the weapons that they have and look who they're throwing it to. And we're mad that Pat can't get the most out of Nico Remigio. That's why we're upset right now. He can't get more out of Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown has not made an explosive play since he's been here. Not a single explosive play since he's been here. Where do you think these big pop down the field plays come from? They just come from explosive players, and they're explosive players. They're on timeout for right now. You'll get them back eventually, but this is what their offense is going to be. I'm not expecting it to be much different on Sunday against the Ravens. It's going to be a lot of grinding out and just seeing if Pat could do something and make things happen. It's just going to be a lot of that for the next 3 weeks until they can fully get healthy. Or unless just there is going to be some kind of breakthrough and just something that we have not seen so far through the first 3 weeks of the season. We can keep playing some of the national conversation stuff. Joshua Briscoe is going to be on the show. We're getting you ready for Week 4, Chiefs and Ravens. This is a really important game for both of these teams. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
sometimes I can always tell when it's time for us to move on for a topic. Like, I think I have a good sense of that. We were talking about the Chiefs offense, and it was a quote from Dan Orlowski. And I was just simply referencing, we just watched Monday Night Football. The two running backs that got carries for the Lions are David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. The wide receivers that touched the ball for the Lions are Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jamison Williams and Sam Laporta at tight end. I'm not surprised that they have one of the best offenses in the league. They got dogs on that side. And I know a lot of you are frustrated with the play calling and the scheme. I don't know why we just can't point to they don't have enough good players right now. And the hope is that they will get good players coming up in 3 weeks. That it's really hard to make things work the way that we all think their offense should work when right now none of us trust their running backs. So you don't trust either running back right now. You are very depleted at wide receiver, and your tight end we think is going to retire in 7 months. It's just really hard to have one of the more dynamic offenses in the league. The reason I bring that up, because someone texted in, CDOT, what dogs did Tom Brady have in his career other than Randy Moss, yet he always found a way to win? If I got to tell you guys the amount of talent that Tom Brady played with when he was the quarterback of the Patriots, it's time to go. I mean, they have a first ballot Hall of Fame tight end he was throwing the ball to. The only reason we act like this with Tom Brady is because his receivers were white. I'm serious. The only reason we act like that. Like, we're now going to act like Wes Welker wasn't a dog. Have the Chiefs had a player with Wes Welker-like ability? Have a lot of teams had that player? Wes Welker was one of the 10 best receivers in the National Football League for like a 7-year stretch. Why do we act like Wes Welker wasn't a good football player? Why do we act like that? Why do we act like Wes Welker was just this guy from this small college that we had never heard of before, and it was just like really happy to make it work? I don't understand. I don't know why we do that with Wes Welker, but I'm telling you, he was actually really, really good in his career, like phenomenal in his career, actually. I remember when people thought that's what Sky Moore was supposed to be. Was that? No, it was Julian Edelman. That's who it was. Julian Edelman was the one. Not given for that. They did help create Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola. Maybe that's what it is. They kind of turned a couple of white guys into productive wide receivers. So now we just think that Brady just played with nobody for the entirety of his career. I assure you, that was not the case when he was the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. Let me play this for you guys. I want to play what Colin Cowherd had to say. Here's what he had to say about the Chiefs.
For years, you forget that Kansas City has been winning despite their offense. Three straight seasons where the offense has regressed. Right now, the offense is below the New York Jets. I'm not joking. The Chiefs' offense feels a lot like an old pitcher that's lost about 5 miles an hour off his fastball. For the last 6 or 7 years, it's felt like the AFC had this trifecta at the top of Chiefs, Ravens, Bills. And right now it feels like Josh, Justin, and Lamar Jackson. I mean, they have one first half touchdown, 22nd in time of possession. I mean, they have halves and quarters that are ugly.
I just don't know how much evaluation I can really make with the Chiefs offense right now while they're operating at 60% capacity. Like, if we're evaluating them off what we've seen so far, I don't know if you can really disagree with what Cowherd has to say, but I think the hope for everyone that follows the team is that that's not going to be the case in a month. I think Xavier Worthy is pretty close to coming back. I mean, he's been practicing these last couple of weeks, and they've made the decision to not put him on the IR, so they have to think that he is coming back within 4 weeks of time. That's what they have to assume based on how they've operated and how they've maneuvered with Xavier Worthy, who has only missed one practice through all of this. You're getting Rashee Rice back in 3 games. You're getting Rashee Rice back. So, yes, they don't have their fastball right now. The hope is that they have their fastball in a month when they get, I mean, the Chiefs get one of their 5 best offense or players, not total, not even offense. They get one of their 5 best players back in less than a month. I just don't know how much I can evaluate their offense and say they either have it or don't have it until we get the answer when it comes to when they get Rashee Rice back.
The Drive. First to breaking news in Kansas City.
Okay.
We got college football breaking news, Carrington.
We have more breaking news. Somebody else got fired?
No, this is not a firing. This is a Heisman Trophy frontrunner, John Mateer, broke his hand.
Oh, man.
For Oklahoma. He'll be out. He's having surgery. He is out, and there is no solid timeline on when John Mateer, Heisman frontrunner, will be back for Oklahoma. I am looking up currently, when does Oklahoma play Missouri?
Here you go. Start trying to hate. Here you go.
It's worth noting.
No, it absolutely is. I think that's Missouri's second to last game. I think they play at Oklahoma and then at Arkansas. Those are the last two games. So around Thanksgiving.
I'm going to say, I'm seeing now 3 or more weeks is likely, but he will miss the Texas game is what people are thinking.
No, for sure. If he broke his hand, he ain't playing in 2 weeks against Texas. No, that's for sure. Who's the Heisman favorite now? Would you say Garrett Nussmeier?
It's got to be Nussmeier, right? Got to be Nussmeier. Who else is there?
Yeah, no.
Everyone we thought preseason's been bad.
No, I mean, Petir was one of the 5 best quarterbacks so far in college football. I think Oklahoma was the best team in the SEC. That's how they looked to me.
They're not
into October, and they lost their starting quarterback. So, I mean, we got to have a different conversation about them.
I mean, the SEC just changed.
Can you hit the portal in the middle of the season?
Oklahoma State players are trying to.
Yeah, I mean, can you hit the portal? I guarantee you there's some kids right now that wish they could hit the portal. There are some kids that certainly wish they could go be the starting quarterback at Oklahoma, but no. That is big-time news. Certainly big-time news that this is the case. No question this is big-time news.
It is on his throwing hand, too.
Yeah, he's probably done for the rest of the year then.
Yeah, he'll undergo surgery tomorrow.
Yeah, that kid ain't coming back in 2 months. From a throwing hand injury as a quarterback, yeah, you're done for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
They played in 4 games, right? 4 games? 3 games?
The expectation is he will return at some point this season.
I'm just trying to think, because he can still get a red shirt, right? He hasn't played enough games to not get a red shirt.
I don't know what happened when he was at Washington State. I'm just trying to think.
I mean, if you played in less than 4 games, then you could still get a red shirt. So maybe I'm just off on my math and where we are in the schedule off the top of my head. But, I mean, in theory, he could still come back next year.
And he was going to be a top pick, too.
Yeah, he was having a phenomenal season.
He still can be a top pick, I guess.
Yeah, he was having a phenomenal season. No, disappointing injury that this has always happened. So, no, I'm sad to hear that about John Mateer. I always want to see the best players in the country healthy. We'll see what this means for the Heisman race. But, yeah, the Heisman front runner right now, John Mateer, Rob is telling us, who's reporting this, that he broke his...
Everyone. I mean...
I just haven't seen it. I just was wondering
Ross Dellinger had it first. I've seen Brian Fisher, Pete Thamel. I mean, this is...
All the college football people.
If it's someone that you follow for college football, they are reporting it right now.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot
Dennis
of sense.
Dennis Dodd, Pat Forty, the list goes on.
There's a lot of big news coming out of Oklahoma today.
That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage. Attacking an amateur athlete for doing everything right. And then you want to write articles about guys that don't do things right and downgrade them, the ones that do make plays. Are you kidding me? Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid.
So a lot of news coming today out of Oklahoma. The Oklahoma Sooners, they have lost their starting quarterback. The Oklahoma State Cowboys, they lost their head coach. They don't even have a head coach anymore at Oklahoma State. So we'll see what happens when it comes to them. But, man, I mean, what a rough day in Oklahoma on both sides of the aisle. Whether you're a Sooner fan or a Cowboy fan, it has been a rough day for you. All right, I want to play one more cut for you guys, and then we'll talk about Isaiah Pacheco. This last one here, you got to save the best for last. Our dear friend Nick Wright, here he is on his show, First Things First, talking about the importance of the Mahomes tackle in Sunday Night Football.
The only time I said I felt worse about the Chiefs than I did after week two was the beginning of the 2021 season, when they'd gotten blown out by the Bucs in the Super Bowl, then got blown out by the Bills, then got blown out by the Titans, then they played a bad New York Giants team that they barely beat, and then they played the Packers and Jordan Love in an ugly, awful game to save their season. Mm-hmm. And famously, at the very end of the game, there was, you know, for First Things First fans, the pass heard around the world. Everyone remembers it. You guys, and it was that moment I came on TV the next day and said, oh, Patrick's out of his funk. The two high safeties didn't ruin his career. And the rest of the year, they lost one time en route to the AFC Championship game, which, to be fair, they did lose. And now this year, we have, instead of the pass heard around the world, we have the tackle that turned the tide. Patrick Mahomes. After Isaiah Pacheco turns the wrong way, he throws it backwards again with a play that I truly believe.
It's a game-saving
might have, play. If it's a game-saving play, it's a season-saving play. Yeah.
That was Nick Wright on his show, First Things First, talking about Sunday Night Football. I wanted to play that for you. Let's talk about the running game. And this is me admitting that I think you guys were right. And you guys saw this a little sooner than I did. And I have to come to you guys and I have to admit that. Where I think I was just too caught up into that computer box, the way that Sean Barber always says. That's what he says. You got to get off the computer box and you got to use your eyes. You got to watch the games. And I admit to you guys that maybe I wasn't watching the games as closely and I was too hell-bent by the numbers. The best running back currently on the Chiefs roster is Kareem Hunt. Now, I know what the argument is going to be, and maybe this is where you call me out for hypocrisy. Well, he's averaging 4.5 yards per carry. That's pretty good. They should give him the ball more. It's more than just that. It's the mental mistakes and the mental errors that we saw on Sunday. It's also, I don't have the same hope and confidence that Pacheco can break one the way that we used to. There was a certain measure of energy, enthusiasm. He would run with a sort of controlled violence that you need to be a really productive running back. Everything just seems really passive now. He used to be a guy that you used to anticipate able to break tackles. He just doesn't really do that anymore. For those of you that are Missouri fans, I mean, you're not a Missouri fan, but you've seen him. Ahmad Hardy, their running back, that's how Isaiah Pacheco used to run. I'm going to run through people. I don't really see a lot of times where Isaiah Pacheco runs through people. And if that's not who he's going to be anymore, he just isn't a talented enough player to get the amount of carries and volume. He just doesn't do enough of the other things. Now, Kareem Hunt is not a player that is without flaws. He doesn't have some of the boost, explosiveness, the things that you do, but he's a better pass catcher out of the backfield. He's a little bit more consistent of a runner, it feels, at times. I just think that he's better. Maybe I am completely overreacting to the first three games of the season with Isaiah Pacheco, but at this point, it's been a year since I felt like we've seen what the real Isaiah Pacheco looks like. And I know he had the injury, but he's come back and they had a whole offseason. And man, this looks like the exact same Isaiah Pacheco that played for them in week 15 last season. They're like, there is not much different to me right now with him in terms of how he's running and the play style of this. They're not getting Rashee Rice back for the next 3 weeks. So how can you fix this thing? Man, I will continue to maintain one of the ways that they can fix this, and probably the best way that they can fix it is to get Isaiah Pacheco going in some capacity and just taking some of the pressure off their starting quarterback by just being able to turn around and hand the ball off. That would be such a benefit for this team. You were going up against a Giants team that wasn't great against the run so far. I mean, the Chiefs didn't run it that well against them. You're now going up against a Ravens team. Now, granted, the Lions ran the ball effectively against them, and no one's going to confuse the Chiefs' rushing attack with the Lions' rushing attack, but this is a game just as a team. You should feel like, hey, we can get some things going. We can do some things right here. We can control the line of scrimmage. We should be able to. This offense could desperately use guys to just step up, guys that make plays, guys are really instrumental in kind of turning this thing around offensively for them. Man, one of those players has to be Isaiah Pacheco. I'm just starting to lose more and more faith. If he has that pop that they need to kind of get him out of it, like get himself out of this rut, which I think would also help get this Chiefs offense out of a rut. They are a different team when they are balanced and can run the football. And I just don't have a lot of faith in them being able to do that right now. Not with the pieces that they currently have.
Okay, so we agree first and foremost on the run game needs more. I 100% agree. I also agree that they're not getting enough Isaiah Pacheco. So if you want to make him not running back one, if you want to concede to the text line who has been making Kareem Hunt running back one forever now, I will make that concession with you. But it's not like Kareem Hunt has been gangbusters and Isaiah Pacheco's been just blah. They've both been bad. Out of the numbers, I pulled our favorite number, yards per carry. Isaiah Pacheco's bad this year, 3.7 yards per carry. No one is going to argue that's good, because it's not. It's bad. It's very bad. But it's not like Kareem Hunt has gone out there and been at 6.1 yards per carry and it's been undeniable. You have to get him more touches. He's at 3.2 yards per carry. So I hear what you're saying. They need more from the running backs. They're getting no juice from the running backs.
I mean, right now they've got bad options. I mean, I don't disagree with
you. They don't have a running back one. They don't have a running back two. They have two guys. No, they have bodies.
You and I are on the same page. I agree with you. They don't have a great option right now. You and I don't have to argue that much about that. I don't love either of their options at the running back position. I don't love Kareem Hunt. I don't love Isaiah Pacheco. Right now, I'm not here to tell you what they don't have. I'm trying to tell you what they need to do to make the most out of the situation. The text line keeps saying trade for Alvin Kamara. You ain't trading for Alvin Kamara ahead of week four against the Ravens. They ain't trading for him. They might get him in week nine. They ain't getting him before they get Rashee Rice back. They are not making a trade between now and the middle of October. So Alvin Kamara ain't coming to save the Chiefs. Devon Achane ain't coming to save the Chiefs. You got Isaiah Pacheco, who is averaging 3.7 yards per carry. You got Kareem Hunt, who is averaging 3.5 yards per carry. Isaiah Pacheco, he's not even running and getting you first downs. Rob Pacheco has 25 carries this season. Four of them have went for first downs. Like, he's not even moving the sticks for you. So he's not moving the sticks. He doesn't catch the ball for you out of the backfield. What is Isaiah Pacheco's role currently on this team? What does he do? How does he help you in this scenario? Kareem gives you a little something out of the backfield in terms of catch. He's maybe a little bit of a blocker. We can talk about Kareem having better vision. I mean, he's averaging 3.5 yards per carry. He ain't really seeing the holes that much differently than Isaiah Pacheco. He just doesn't have the burst to get through him. This is one of those things like we were talking about with the offense. You can talk about scheme all you want. Sometimes as a running back, you need your running back to put somebody on their behind. You got to stiff arm somebody. You got to break a tackle. When's the last time that you remember Isaiah Pacheco having one of those runs that gets Arrowhead fired up? They need one of those on Sunday. They need a run on first and 10 in which Isaiah Pacheco gets 8 yards. He gets up and he's flying around and he's just, that's the kind of spark that this team needs. You can draw everything up, the scripted plays. I'm all for that. But at some point, you just need the guys on your offense to go out and make a play. And Pacheco just used to be one of those people that you trusted to get past the first level, could get past the second level, make a guy miss, run over a guy, stiff arm a guy, and make a play happen. Man, they haven't had that in their offense in a very long time. Not from him, at least.
I mean, they haven't had it in a very long time from anyone. And I know it's supposed to be Isaiah Pacheco, and I understand why he has not been the guy, and me and you see that the same. But they spent a whole offseason telling me that it's going to be Isaiah Pacheco again, and he's healthy. And what did he say in Brazil? Revenge tour.
He did say revenge tour.
Revenge tour.
I mean, that's off to a great start. He has 3.7 yards per carry, and he has 13 yards receiving. So
I thought
that's off to a great tour.
What you are describing, I thought he would come out like that, fired up.
I did too.
Big run. It would be, hey, watch out. Oh, man, Isaiah Pacheco was back. I literally bet on him an anytime touchdown down in Brazil. I felt like, oh, they're going to get back to the guy they had, 900-yard type of rusher. He looks like the same player, and you said this perfectly, that was running timid last year in the playoffs, which I understood last season. You were coming off a broken bone, and you rushed back, and it was admirable. He hasn't looked right since then, and the Chiefs banked heavily on him being right, and he doesn't look right. Kareem Hunt looks 30. Elijah Mitchell looks like he's in street clothes every week, and Rashard Smith, I mean, maybe that's your spark, maybe that's your juice, maybe that's the player you're talking about, but they don't trust him to put him on the field. Can he be that guy? Like, I don't know the running back issue is solvable in-house, and I don't know that trading for one is going to cure any of the issues either, because I'm not certain it's not an O-line issue as well.
I also would just like to know, like, what are they not seeing from Breshard Smith on why they're not willing to give him a chance? Like, this is where I just disagree. Like, if you're making the argument that the Chiefs aren't trying to run the football, man, I think they're trying to run the ball. I don't really know how I can advocate for them to give the ball to Isaiah Pacheco more than what they've given him so far this season. Like, we think the plan to this is to give, like, to make Isaiah Pacheco more involved in their offense. We think the plan in this is making Kareem Hunt more involved in their offense. Like, at this point, the same way we talk about quarterback, how you're willing to throw your hands up and just try something different. Like, they've given Breshard Smith, he's touched the ball three times this year. He's touched the ball three times. Like, they're not open to the possibility of just, hey, maybe this guy's got something. Maybe he's got a little bit of juice. Maybe he can execute and do some of the things. Like, Where do we think these sparks are going to come from? And if you don't think they're coming from Isaiah Pacheco, you got to try to find it from somewhere else. Maybe Breshard Smith has got a little bit of something, a little bit of juice. You had to like something about him. Well, give him an opportunity, but giving him three carries so far through the season. I mean, right now, if you're looking at it, at least on ESPN, maybe I'm not seeing it right, he technically doesn't have a catch. All of these have been run plays that they've given him the football to. So you're not even using him for what we thought his intention was going to be. If the plan was for him to be a Jerick McKinnon, catch the ball Samaje Perine type, you ain't throwing it to him enough for him to be that, and you're not giving him carries enough to really help you in the offense.
I'd also say one of his three carries is I guess certainly an end around jet sweep. It was a play in the game in New York where Mahomes snapped it, turned around, and he was coming down the line of scrimmage. So it's three runs, two from a traditional running back position. Either the Chiefs don't believe he's going to be a spark, or he's behind the curve on the offense, or it could be both. Because, I mean, as much as we complain about Matt Nagy and everyone,
How far behind the curve could you be at running back?
It's got to be pretty far behind.
I agree with you, but I'm just saying is we've been told time and time again that's the plug-and-play position that you can go out and you can just give a guy an opportunity, right? That's what we've been told. Running back is just kind of one of those positions. I'm willing to give it a try. I'm certainly willing to give it a try.
Doesn't seem like the Chiefs are. I mean, I don't disagree with you, but when you have three carries and one's an end around and they're still, you know, banging their head against a wall with Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt, their actions tell me they don't either that he's not a spark, which it's possible the seventh round pick is not a spark, or he's not up to speed. It's got to be one of the two.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm seeing right now on the text line, Isaiah Pacheco only has around 10 yards a carry. How can we tell anything with those 10 carries? I just don't know what we've seen so far from Pacheco that we think the plan is to give that guy the ball more. I don't know how we can say that based on what we've seen. Like, I'm not, based on what you've seen from Pacheco, if I'm telling you, hey, what's one of the fixes that you have? It's feature Isaiah Pacheco more. I'm just not seeing the explosiveness. I'm not seeing the big plays. I'm not seeing him run through guys. I'm not seeing the stiff arm. I'm not seeing the same confidence. I'm not seeing any of that. So thinking that their plan is to give Isaiah Pacheco 15, 20 touches right now in this offense, that seems like one of the worst things that I think you could possibly do. If anything, I want to see them use Noah Gray more. He only has five catches so far this season. Where's Noah Gray at? You spent all this money to bring Noah Gray and to keep him as your tight end number two. We spent all this time talking about Robert Tonyan in August. Robert Tonyan ain't got a catch so far this season. So to me, the plan for this offense is not more Isaiah Pacheco. I'm starting to, if there's any player on their team that I've soured the most in the first month of the season, it's been Isaiah Pacheco. I just don't see it right now with him. Coming up at the top of the hour, Joshua Briscoe is going to join us on the show. I'm here to complain about something, not Chiefs related. I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to get back to the Chiefs here in a bit, but if you would just allow me to complain for, I don't know, maybe 3 minutes. They're raising the price again for Disney Plus. Did you know that with this most recent price increase for Disney Plus, it is going to be triple the amount of when Disney Plus was introduced to us? I really hate that we treated cable the way that we did. We really had a good thing going with cable back in the day, and we all got greedy. Everybody. The companies got greedy. We got greedy as the consumers. Cable was right there, and it was treating us right. It really was. It wasn't perfect, but it was certainly a better system than this. It's triple. YouTube TV is now triple the amount from when they introduced it. We haven't even had Disney Plus around that long. It just got here around COVID time. We have it, 4 years? And they just continue to keep raising and raising the price on this thing. I'm just not happy about it. You know, back when we just had regular old American Cablevision, Spectrum back in the day, we had all the channels. You wanted your premium movie channels. It was great. It was ideal. But no, we didn't take care of cable the way that we needed to. And now we got 19 different streaming services, and they all try to hit us over the head every 3 months with a price increase. Rob, I'm sick of it.
Is there a way we can complain our way back to the old system? Because I will tell you, me and you were both people who complained about the old system to the point where we felt like the a la carte system, picking and choosing, was going to be a win. We were wrong. Is there any way we can just complain our way back to the way it was? Or we just have to all, as users, be like, screw it, I'm getting back to traditional cable? Because I feel like people like me and you complained. We got our way. We were wrong. Is there a way to work backwards and get back to traditional cable? Because I worry the toothpaste out of the tube and you're going to have 17 subscriptions to watch everything. Because the one thing that I felt was subscription, you know, was not subscription proof, for lack of a better term, was live sports. Boy, was I wrong, because they are now headed there in massive numbers. So I hope we get back to it. I'm terrified we're never getting back to it.
No, we're never, ever getting back to it. I think what we're going to see, honestly, is I think what we're going to see is just more and more of these streaming services are just going to consolidate, is what I think is going to happen.
Like the Hulu bundle that Disney
offered. That's what I think you're going to see. I think you're going to see more and more of those. Just, I think they're just going to consolidate. I think they're going to come together, and I think that's going to end up being the case. I want to read this text to you guys really quickly, because I think this is a very fair point. C-Dot, you've been advocating for so long for them to give the ball to Isaiah Pacheco. It seems like you're switching up. I'm just confused. 1 week you say give him the ball more, the next you don't. I thought he looked the best that he did against the Giants. I think we should try to give him the ball somewhere in the 50 to 20 mark. I think he could get 100 against the Ravens defense. I don't want you guys to think just because Detroit ran the ball effectively against the Ravens, that means the Chiefs can run the football effectively against them. I mean, Buffalo didn't run the ball effectively against the Ravens. I mean, they did a lot of other things well. I mean, Josh Allen threw for 400 yards against them, but James Cook is really good. James Cook ran for 44 yards against the Baltimore Ravens when they played him in week one. In week two, when they went up against the Cleveland Browns. Now, granted, the Cleveland Browns, they got Judkins back, but that was his first game. Judkins had a decent day against them. Judkins had 61 yards. But, I mean, this was David Montgomery. So this was the best offensive line, I think, in the National Football League and the best running back duo. I do not think the Chiefs are going to run the football effectively on Sunday against the Ravens. They just haven't given me a reason to think that they are going to run the football effectively against them. My feelings on Pacheco have just changed. Is I just don't think it's there for him anymore. I just don't see it. If you guys see it, certainly let me know. And I think a lot of people are touting he ran for 4.5 yards per carry. To me, it kind of felt like the conversation we used to have about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Remember, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the numbers would tell you that Clyde maybe wasn't as bad as you guys remember Clyde was. Clyde was fine. He wasn't great. He wasn't bad. Clyde was just fine. But I think you guys were right. Like, you saw it with Clyde. Hey, there's not really much more there. Like, there's not any juice. There's not another level. There's not another gear. Like, I don't think that they are going to get the most out of him. And you ended up being right. Once they moved on from Clyde Edwards-Helaire, it's not like he went somewhere else and his career flourished. That was basically the end of his career. Is it not possible that's the same thing that's happening to Isaiah Pacheco? Is that not possible that the same thing is happening? Because I'm looking at the two. I'm looking at how it is trending. I'm looking at what you're getting. I don't think there's... What's the last big play that the Chiefs got from Isaiah Pacheco?
Was it that long run against the Raiders on Black Friday? Like that's my guess.
I'm asking honestly. When's the last time we watched? When's the last time that you guys remember a big play generated from Isaiah Pacheco in the pass game, in the run game, a legitimate big play?
I truly believe the answer is that he had a big run on Black Friday. We pulled this stat. The only reason I know that is we pulled the stat. It was like his last 20-yard plus run. That's the last time.
Okay. I'm with you. Someone on the text line says they run the ball on the most predictable downs and situations. I mean, sometimes it's first and 10. We're going to run the football here. We just got to be able to do it. Now, some of that is certainly on the offensive line. I'm not moving them from the category of this isn't on them as well. They certainly play a part in it. I'm trying to find where the spark is going to come from in this offense. And if we are saying that the hope is against the Ravens team, that I just think the Ravens are going to be able to score against the Chiefs. I don't think it's going to be a shootout, but I also don't think you're holding the Ravens to 13 points. Like, you're probably going to need to score 24, 27 points or get a play on defense to kind of shorten the field for you. That's a dynamic, high-flying, high-powered kind of offense. You're going to need somebody to help you match those kind of plays. Who can kind of generate those plays? And what I don't want to do is, well, hey, we're going to try to give the ball out to Isaiah Pacheco 17 times in this game and hope that he can break one. No, I don't know if he is going to break one. I think he can consistently get you somewhere between 3 to 5 yards a carry. I think you just need a little bit more of a spark, a little bit more. You need a guy. You need the Isaiah Pacheco that could take a 4 yard carry and turn it into a 15 yard carry down the field. I just don't think that that player currently exists right now for the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Joshua Briscoe. We'll get his thoughts on this. It's been a busy day in football. We saw that the Oklahoma Sooner starting quarterback, John Mateer, he broke his hand. He might be out for the rest of the season. Oklahoma State, they fired their head coach earlier today. The Ravens, they are 1-2. The Chiefs are 1-2. They're heading into a very important matchup. And the Lions look like the same offense that they were last year. They scored 38 points on the road last night against the Baltimore Ravens. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.